What a great reminder this morning. We are bound for the promised land. And isn't that a question we should be asking people? Oh, will you come and go with me? Will you come and go with me? This morning, we're moving on from our 7 ways of being blessed in Christ. I hope that as we examine those 7 ways in which we're presented here in the Word of God, that I hope that you were reminded of just how thoroughly that we have been blessed. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, those of us who placed our faith in Him, our trust in Him, God blesses us. Even this morning as we were looking at Exodus, I was just reminded once again how God gives us everything for life and godliness. When we look how God prescribed the vestments for the priest, and not only that, but the details of the tabernacle, and even before that, when He asked for a willing offering from the people, and the items that He asked, those things were given to the Israelites as they were exiting Egypt. Isn't that incredible? God had already provided everything they needed to form everything that He wanted in relation to how they were going to worship Him. He's given them everything. And then even as He gave them those details on how to form everything, how to build the tabernacle, He even gave the individuals, it says that he filled Bezalel with His Spirit. And not only that, but He gave wisdom to Oholiab and the other artisans, and how we're reminded that God grants us everything that we need, how He blesses us with everything that we need to do what He calls us to do, what He asks us to do. Oh my, how we are blessed to be called God's children. Not just for when we're, you know, that promised land. Yes, that is an incredible blessing that we look forward to, that each and every day I hope that when we get up, that expectation is that today might be the day that Jesus comes back and takes us home to be with Him. But if we should tarry on, we'll tarry on in the blessings that we have for each and every moment as we walk with Him, right? And so as we move forward, I want to examine there's two different prayers that we find here in the book of Ephesians. One, the first one here in verses 15 through 23, and I want to read through all this passage. I want to take this in two parts, one this morning and one next week. I want to look at the context of Paul's prayer, and I also want to look at the contents of Paul's prayer. And when we look at this prayer, we immediately think about how we are even called to be people of gratitude. That even as we've sang this morning, that we should be thankful to God, to give thanks. We're coming into the season here in which we focus our thanksgiving to God. Not that this is the only time of year where thanksgiving should be a focus, but we truly focus on thanking God for all His many blessings. In fact, we devote an entire day called Thanksgiving, in which we're incredibly thankful for the food in which we have before us. Are we not? And sometimes I'm incredibly thankful because I have more than one Thanksgiving. I have a Thanksgiving with my family, and usually that's a little bit before the day of Thanksgiving. We will have a day of Thanksgiving within our church body as a church family, corporately thanking God. That's the second Thanksgiving. And I even have a Thanksgiving with my wife's family. So I get to have 3 Thanksgiving. So I might be a little bit bigger toward the end of Thanksgiving or the end of November than I am now. But we are thankful. The point of that, all that is to say that we focus on Thanksgiving mostly here in the late time of the year. But as we'll see today, this is something that is prescribed daily in our lives. That God is saying we need to be thankful because we are incredibly blessed. But not only are we incredibly blessed, but God has blessed us with some extraordinary people in our lives. And that's what I want to focus on today as we look at this prayer, because this is really what Paul is doing. He is thanking God for these Christians in Ephesus. And one of the questions that I have for you today, and we're going to look at it in a moment, but I want to give it to you now because I want you to start thinking about it, is do you constantly give thanks to God for who He has placed in your life? We need to be thanking God for those individuals that He has placed in our lives, those individuals that encourage us, those individuals that spur us on, especially our church body. As Second Baptist Church, this family of believers that we have here, we should be thankful that God has called us here not only to worship together, but to serve together and advance the kingdom of God together. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's look at this. Let's just look at this passage of Scripture. We're going to focus today on verses 15 and 16, but let me read this entire passage. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Paul says, "This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stopped giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of His strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He subjected everything under His feet and appointed Him as head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way." So let's look at the context of this prayer. And when I'm thinking about the context, I'm thinking about why Paul has to he goes from, all right, this is how we're blessed in Christ, and so now I've just got to say thanks. I got to have this prayer of thanksgiving. And that's the context this morning, I think, of this prayer, is thankfulness. The Greek word here is Eucharisto, which may sound familiar to you, the Eucharist. Eucharisto means to be grateful, feel thankful, give thanks, to express gratitude. And we know this next thing that you'll see on the screen, thankfulness is prescribed throughout Scripture. In fact, Alry, on the screen, during the offering, you had a passage of Scripture, did you not? Psalm 105. Did anybody read the screen this morning? What was the first thing that it said? Does anybody? Give thanks. Give thanks. It's prescribed throughout Scripture. And even if you did just a brief survey of the Psalms, you would find thankfulness being prescribed toward God's people. Psalm 92, verse 1. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." A few pages over, in Psalm 100, this is the psalm that more often than not we read during the time of Thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says this, "Let the earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge the Lord is God. He made us and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And here it is, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless His name. For the Lord is good and His faithful love endures forever, His faithfulness through all generations." A few pages over, Psalm 107 says this, "Give thanks to the Lord for He is good." Verse 8 of that same chapter says this, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love and His wondrous works for all humanity." Psalm 116. This is just the a few passages that I picked out. We would be here quite some time this morning if I read every scripture that mentioned giving thanks to God, but just a few, all right? Psalm 116, verse 17 says this, "I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord." Psalm 118, verse 1 and then verse 19, "Give thanks to the Lord." Why? For he is good. 19 says this, "Open the gates of righteousness for me. I will enter through them and do what? Give thanks to the Lord." Thanksgiving is prescribed throughout Scripture. And then Paul, here in this passage that we just read, he is employing thankfulness. And he not only does he do it here, but he does it in many of his letters. If you were to flip over throughout his letters, and at the beginning, most of the time it's at the beginning of his letters, he says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported in all of the world. I give thanks to God." What is he giving thanks for? For all of you. I mean, I sit here this morning, and as I've asked that question, do you give thanks to God for the people that he's placed in your life? This is what I'm talking about. Paul does this on, and I have all these listed, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4, Philippians 1 verse 3, Colossians 1 verse 3, 1 Thessalonians verse chapter 1 verse 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, Philemon verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 4, all these times that he's writing these letters to the Christians, he says, "I give thanks for you." And not only as we see here, not only did he give thanks, but did you hear what he said here? He says, "I never stop giving thanks." He's continually giving thanks. Paul couldn't stop giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he gives the same, or chapter 2, verse 13. Is that what I said? All right. He says the same idea. He conveys the same idea. I give thanks for you. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 17 and 18. 17 has that wonderful verse that says that we should pray without ceasing. And then right on the heels of praying without ceasing, he says something about thanksgiving, thankfulness. They go together, don't they? In our prayers, we are to constantly be giving thanks, not only to God for what he has given us, like in the resources and everything. And we do that, I think we do that very well here at our church. We give thanks to God for what he's given us. And because of our thankfulness, an act of our thankfulness is giving him back a portion of what he's given us. Not only are we to do that, but we're to give thanks for the people in our lives. I don't do this often enough, but I don't thank God for the godly heritage of my family. I was incredibly blessed to be born in a family of a Southern Baptist minister, a pastor's wife who was very involved in the churches where my dad served. At a very early age, I came to know the Word of God, and not only the Word of God, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it had an effect on my life in such a way that shortly before the time I was 8 years old, that it got a hold of my heart, and I was able to give my life to God. And now for these 35 years, I've been walking with him, not perfectly, but thanks be to God that I've had 35 years to walk with him and to learn of him and hopefully to mature in him. And a lot of that is because of the godly heritage of my family. I don't thank God enough for the experiences that I've had in ministry, where God has shaped me into the minister that I am today. Even the time that I've had here, these 8 or 8.5 years here, about 8 and 3rd years here at Second Baptist Church. God has blessed me here, and we've been able to see a lot of blessing in the church of individuals who have come through this church, and we've had an opportunity to mentor, and now they're out in the world today proclaiming the gospel. The connections that I've been able to make, like, and you hear me talk about Joe Reagan probably too much, but I thank my God that when I was in seminary that I met Joe Reagan. I met Joe Reagan because I began work at Mardell Christian Bookstore in Fort Worth, Texas, and he was my office department manager. And that's how I got to know him and got to know that he was also in seminary and he had a heart for missions that wound up placing him in the former Soviet Union, more specifically in Ukraine, to where we've had a connection with him. And not only that, but we could see God work in his life in such a way that he went through the ordeal of pancreatic cancer and God did a work in his life where he is healing him and he's back on the field. I need to thank God more for individuals like that in my life that I've been able to see him work. And I think this is the idea that Paul has here. He says, I can't stop giving thanks because I see what God is doing in your life. I knew what you were like before you met Jesus Christ, and now what you're doing now because you've met Jesus Christ, it's incredible. And I can't even believe that God has given me this opportunity to invest in your life in such a way that the kingdom of God can be advanced through you. So I can't stop but give thanks. Can't stop giving thanks because he's given me this opportunity. We should be like that with one another here, right? I mean, am I right? I mean, do I get an amen here? Because if not, then maybe we should just shut down today and go out these doors. You know what I'm saying? We should be thankful that we have relationships within this body of believers, that we get to be hand in hand, arm in arm, going out into this community, and not only this community, but this state, that we had this opportunity last week, and y'all heard me talk about this. We had this opportunity to go and help with a block party in Jacksonville in this mobile home park, which, by the way, this past Thursday evening, they had people that had never been to that Bible study. And we had a hand in that. You understand what I'm saying? That we as Southern Baptists, because we believe in what the cooperative program is about, and we give our dollars to Dixie Jackson State Missions that helps with things like the Acts 1-8 mission trip where 30-something people came to know Jesus Christ. And not only that, but those dollars go to disaster relief and the over 100 people that have prayed to receive Christ because of Hurricane Harvey relief. We should be thankful that we can work together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. I can't stop giving thanks. Getting a little excited this morning, aren't we? God has designed the church in such a way to be his instrument to advance the gospel in this world. And he said, and when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? We become a part of that wonderful avenue, this wonderful instrument, this wonderful vehicle of getting the gospel out in the world. And we don't have to do it alone, but we get to do it together. We should give thanks for one another. So again, I ask you, do you constantly give thanks to God for who he has placed in your life? We go on in this passage, and I think we see two reasons for Paul's thankfulness. First of all, my mouth is getting dry this morning, I'm sorry. First of all, their trust in Jesus. He says, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. He says, I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, there in verse 15. Their trust in Jesus. This word in Greek is pistis, which means faith. It means assurance. It means belief. It means conviction. They have this reality in their lives that Jesus is a part of them. That this reality that Jesus Christ went to the cross for their sins and he died for them and that he rose again. They have this conviction that not only that, but God has empowered them through the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that he's called them to do. Their faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not believed, or things believed. Yeah. I'm getting confused this morning. But that's what faith is. Faith is not just wishful thinking on our part. Thank you, Al Ray. No, seriously, thank you, Al Ray. You see what I did there? Oh, my goodness, that's good. That's good. It's good. Anyway. It's an evidence, isn't it? It's not wishful thinking. It's not just a slight little hope. We are grounded. And that's what he's given thanks to God for. He's, you have faith. You are grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's evidence of it. I see how God is working, and I can't stop giving thanks. Now, one of the things that we know about faith, and I think Paul knew this, is that trust leads to obedience. If we truly trust God, we sing this song, don't we? This hymn? From time to time, Alry, right? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way, right? What, somebody tell me, I'm forgetting just all the words this morning of that chorus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So trust leads to obedience. Paul knew for the Christians at Ephesus that if they had faith in Jesus Christ, that faith leads to obedience. And not only does that faith lead to obedience, but obedience is evidence of our love for God. That's what Scripture tells us. Flip over to John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus himself when he's talking to his disciples. John 14, there's actually in that chapter, there's a few times where Jesus says exactly this. John 14, in verse 15, he says this, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You'll be obedient. You'll be obedient. Verse 21, Jesus says again, the one who has my commands and keeps them is what? The one who loves me. Not only that, but go a little bit further in this passage in verse 23. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Trust leads to obedience, and obedience is the evidence of our love for God. Flip over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. The Apostle John says this, for this is what love for God is. I mean, it's if you haven't caught on by now, John, if you want to know what the love for God is, here it is. Here it is. He says, to keep his commands. Faith, trust leads to obedience, and obedience is evidence of our love for God. And then, if that wasn't enough, we flip over to 2 John, verse 6. He says, this is love, that we walk according to his commands. Do you hear that this morning? Obedience, we walk, we're doing what God asks us to do. That is evidence. So let me ask you this question this morning, as we think about trust. Does your trust propel you to live a life of obedience to God and his commands? Does your trust propel you to live a life of obedience to God and his commands? If you truly trust God, if you have faith in him, then That faith will be exhibited through your actions. And your actions will lead you to obedience to his commands. And obedience to his commands is evidence that you love God. There's no getting around it, isn't it? But you know what the wonderful thing is? You know, you're saying, well, Jonathan, that almost sounds like works-based salvation, doesn't it? Because you're talking a lot about obedience this morning. You're talking a lot about God's commands this morning. Scripture tells us that apart from him, we can do nothing. So even when it comes to the commands of God, apart from him, we can do nothing. And as I said earlier this morning, as we were reminded with the Israelites and how God commanded them to the vestments of the high priest but he provided everything. He has given us everything for life and godliness. So through the working of his Holy Spirit in his life, obedience comes naturally. We can't help but want to do what God says. And I hope, this is my goal in life, that as I read the Word of God, and I study it, and I meditate on it, and I learn from it, and it is revealed to me how I should walk in this world, that obedience becomes more and more natural. And I can't help, because I am compelled. And as I used that word earlier, I'm propelled outward to walk in his commands. Submission to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's very simple. As we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit, we will exhibit evidence through our obedience, and our love for God will come. All right. Second thing that I see here. I think Paul is giving thanks because of their treatment of the saints. Their treatment of the saints. You read here, he says, I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and what? Your love for all the saints. This is important, isn't it? You know, we talk a lot about how the commands of God, living this life for God, can be summed up very simply in love God, love people. That's a very simple way to look at it. This is what Paul is saying here. He's, I've heard about your faith that leads to obedience, and your obedience is evidence of your love for God, and also I've heard about your love for the saints. Love God, love people, especially the people of God. Jesus talks about this a lot, but before that, let's look at this word. It's the agape love. This is that unconditional love. This is that God kind of love. The kind of love that doesn't require any reciprocation. That if you love someone, it's that you have no expectation of love back. You just love them. Because it's within you. Because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and because the Holy Spirit is equal with God, and God is love, therefore now we have the ability to love as God loves. That agape love that is mentioned in John chapter 3, verse 16, one of our favorite scriptures of all time, correct? For God so loved the world. In Romans 5, 8, where he says, for God demonstrated his love. That agape love. And even if we didn't have one John 3:16, we have a second John 3:16 in 1 John 3:16 where he says this is what love is, right? And God sent his son. So we have two John 3:16s in Scripture to remind us what this agape love is about. God sending his son. It is evidence of it. And he calls us as his children to exhibit that same love to one another. Love for the saints is evidence that we belong to God. Scripture is very clear on this matter. Love for the saints is evidence that we belong to God. Jesus himself, I'm going to go back to his words because there's no better place, correct? I mean, do we agree this morning? We go to Jesus' words when we want to find out what living for him looks like. John 13, 35. Actually, let's go back to 34. He says, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's very clear, isn't it? We can't get around that. It is prescribed in the Word of God that we have a love for one another. As a body of believers here at Second Baptist Church, we should love one another. And not only should we love one another, but what did Jesus say here? Just as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Completely? Unconditionally? Yeah, he did. That is what we're to have for one another. Jesus goes on to say, and this is a little bit longer passage of Scripture, but in John 15, verses 9 through 17, he says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. And he says it once again. Love one another. Again, in 1 John. Have you ever noticed the Apostle John talks a lot about love? Loving God and loving people? It's a very good thing. Very good thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. He says, for this is the message you heard from the beginning. From the beginning. We should love one another. Just a page over in that book of 1 John, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You go on through that passage of Scripture through 12, and then read verses 16 through 21, and the Apostle John is coming back. We've got to love one another. We've got to love one another. There is no other way that the world will know what love is. Love one another. There's no other way that you will be identified as my child, as my disciple, as my follower. You love one another. Love for the saints is evidence that we belong to God. So the question that follows, do you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ with the same love God has for you? Because that's what we're talking about this morning. If our directive from the Lord Jesus Christ himself is that we should love one another, and that's the way that the world will know that you are mine, then we have to ask ourselves that question. Are we exhibiting that same love for one another that Christ exhibited toward us? Do you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ with the same love God has for you? That's a hard task, isn't it, at times? Because we're people. And as people, we make mistakes, correct? I make mistakes. I know that. You ask Michelle, I make mistakes. You ask my kids, I make mistakes. And that's fine. They still love me. They still love me. And we as a body of believers, Even though we are made up of human beings who are infallible and are fallible and make mistakes, we still can exhibit love toward one another as God has loved us, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us and he gives us that wonderful ability. It's a word that in Scripture we find often, and it's called to forgive. Right? It's to forgive. So what about you this morning? As we've looked at this, the context of the prayer that Paul has here, that context of thankfulness and why he was thankful because of their trust in Jesus and their love for one another. Where do you find yourself? Are you trusting God with your life this morning? And are you loving people as God has loved you? Because I'm telling you this morning that is evidence that you are God's. And if you're struggling with that this morning, can I tell you some good news? Can I give you some good news this morning? The good news is God wants to help you with it. And how do I know that? Because he's given us the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because he would never say anything in his word that he didn't have every intention of empowering you to do that very thing. If he has called us to a life of obedience through the working of his Holy Spirit in our lives, he has every intention of making that happen. If he calls us to love one another as Christ has loved us, right? He has every intention of infusing our lives with that same kind of love so that we can do that very thing. Won't you this morning just give yourself over to God and just, I'm a willing vessel. I'm a willing vessel. I know I don't get it right every time, and I never will, but God, I want to get it right more than I get it wrong. So please, through the working of your Holy Spirit, help me to learn obedience in my life. And not only learn obedience, but to learn how to love my brother and sister in Christ. So we go to the Lord in prayer. So we bow our heads and close our eyes. Would you just thank God this morning? Thank him first of all for the people in your life. Would you thank him that he has blessed you with individuals in your family and not just your earthly family, but with your heavenly family, even this body of believers we have here today? Would you give thanks to God for them? Do something a little bit different this morning. And I know we're running a little bit long, but I just wonder that instead of singing this morning, we just continue in this attitude of prayer. And maybe God has laid somebody on your heart that's even in this very room. And he's saying, why don't you today go tell him, thank you for being in my life. I don't know if anybody wants to do that this morning. I don't know if the Spirit is leading you to do this morning. But I know that there are individuals that are seated here today that are important to you. And maybe if you don't do it during this time, maybe God has put them on your mind, and maybe today, all right? Don't let this day go by without, in some way or another, thanking that person for being in your life. Second Baptist Church, we need to come together, don't we? We need to exhibit that love for one another. that love that screams to the world that we are God's. And in doing so, that unity that comes as a result. And I'm telling you, that happens, this community will take notice. And this community will change for the sake of the gospel. Won't you trust Him today? Father, this morning as we've looked at Your Word, we do say thank You. Thank You that You are so gracious and You provide all of our needs. Father, one of those needs is for relationship. You created us to be relational people, to be in relationship with You and relationship with others. And there are individuals in our lives that we are incredibly thankful for. I pray that today won't pass until we have expressed to that person our gratitude for being in our lives. Pray for our church, Father, that we would continue to exhibit the same love that You have for us to one another. To do it in such a way that we would be unified and that through that unity, You would be glorified and our community would be changed for the sake of the gospel. How we love You, Father. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.